You're listening to Sister Stargazers, celestial and terrestrial observations and advice from two real-life sisters.
Welcome, fellow stargazers. Your sisters are in the house. Hello, Jude.
Hey, Sarah. How you doing?
I'm excited. It's May.
Yeah, it's May, and we're coming out of an eclipse in Taurus, which should have had everyone charged up.
Well, let's jump into it then. This is episode 34. We're looking at Sunday, May 1st through Saturday, May 7th. How shall we start?
Yeah, we could start with the 1st of May, which is still, we're still under the influence of that eclipse on the 30th, which was a new moon. So right after that new moon, if you remember from last week, we had Jupiter and Venus in their conjunction in Pisces.
Right.
And now we have Venus sextile Pluto. So Venus is still in Pisces at 28 degrees Pisces, just at the end of Pisces, and she's making a sextile back to Pluto.
Okay.
So there's a sense of empowerment moving into this week, really full, like something is shifting. You can feel it. You may not be able to put your finger on it. Maybe at this eclipse, you made a decision. Maybe a decision was made for you.
Sure.
You know, some writing on the wall became really clear in terms of what you value, what you want to put your energy into, and what you want to leave behind. So this week is a really good week. As the moon is starting to wax, you can start to take stock of what it is that you need to let go of so that you'll be prepared on the next eclipse, which is a lunar eclipse happening in the middle of May. And we won't talk about that this week, but
yeah,
just in terms of preparation, while this moon is waxing and you're thinking about all these ideas, and there'll be lots of ideas and there'll be calls to action.
Okay.
Lots of ideas, because the moon will conjunct Mercury on Monday the 2nd and Venus will enter Aries. So Venus will move out of that sextile with Pluto where there's empowerment. She'll move into Aries where she's on fire. Basically, she wants to take charge, get things done, move forward.
Yeah.
It's not an altogether comfortable sign, Aries, for Venus, because Venus is, of course, exalted in Pisces and luxuriates and is in her exaltation in Taurus. You know, she rules Taurus, which is just where this eclipse was.
Right.
And she just made this conjunction to Jupiter. She's all charged up. A lot of our sense of well-being, our sense of moving forward, our sense of understanding, wanting to cooperate, wanting to enjoy life, that is very high. That's like the volume on that is turned up.
Yeah.
The moon is conjunct Mercury on Monday.
Okay.
Venus enters Aries. So there's lots of ideas. There's a lot of emotion connected with those ideas. On Tuesday, Jupiter sextiles Pluto. So another sextile from Jupiter, just where Venus was.
Yeah.
So we're getting like this kind of amplification of what Venus was feeling earlier in the week on the 1st, which is connected to what was happening on the 30th. So this whole week coming out of the 30th, moving into this first week of May, is about really kind of taking stock and feeling this rising power that you can change what you need to change and you can do what you need to do.
Yes.
The next day is Wednesday, the 4th, Mars sextiles Uranus.
My gosh.
Yeah, there's a lot of power this week. There's a tremendous amount of power.
Yeah.
So Mars sextile Uranus, it's a point where you're able to make a breakthrough. Like you're getting the insights.
Okay.
And you're also able to act on them.
Right.
So Mars is still in Pisces. Water sign, not at all, you know, it's happiest in Pisces, but it will, it's able to take a break from its, you know, its constant assertion.
Right.
So Mars can just like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
And then the sextile to Uranus can go, oh, okay, I get it. Let's do it. You know, like it's more of a kind of a relaxed, a breakthrough, in an innovative way. Like you don't have to like push, you know what I mean? Like duke it out
charging.
Right.
Yeah, and you don't have to charge forward with all the Martian energy.
No, it's like the energy of Uranus is like opened up the door for, you know, just allowing things to move through. So that's really great. And then the next day, the sun conjuncts Uranus.
Yes.
This is the 5th of May.
Yeah.
It's a cross-quarter day. It's the Beltane. It's the spring. So if you look around, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, you should see this quickening of juice in the trees and in the bushes, and all the little leaves are starting to come forward out of their little buds, and the buds of the flowers are starting to push forward out of their little stems. And so there's this surge of power that's coming from the earth herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you look around, you can really, when you look around,
take notice.
Take notice. You can start to feel that in you rising.
Yes. Yes.
So the ancient ones took this holiday as a time for merriment and sexual activity and to go out and bless the fields, because there was this rising of the fecundity of the earth itself.
Yes.
They were reliant on, as we are.
Yes.
They were reliant on, we are reliant on, for the goodness of the earth to support us. And that's what this mid-holiday, this Beltane time is about.
Cross-quarter day. And it's always in Taurus.
Yes.
Is that right? Like this cross-quarter day, 15 degrees of Taurus.
Yes.
Which is about the earth and the earth's, the joy of the earth.
Yeah. The earth's beauty and her fertility.
Yeah.
And just her cycles.
Yeah.
So the cross-quarter days are still celebrated in a veiled way in our culture. So we have May Day.
Yeah.
Is the 1st of May, but it really does celebrate, you know, it celebrates Beltane. You have the maypole and you put it in the ground and you have this weaving of the strands from the maypole, you know, around and around. And the maypole was the phallus.
Right.
I mean, the maypole was the vertical.
Yes.
And
yes.
the people were the horizontal, you know, so they were making a stake. They were marking a place in the earth and they were weaving their own energy into the earth's energy.
Yeah.
Spiraling it down from the heavens. I mean, there's a whole ancient ritual around that whole May Day festival.
Yeah.
The other cross-quarter days are Lammas in August, which is usually around the 7th of August, which is the 15-degree mark of Leo. And then you have Samhain, which is Halloween, which is at the end of October, but it's really around the 5th of November.
Yeah.
So all that whole portal between the 31st and the 5th is a kind of an opening, which is about contact with the ancestors again, like the dying back of the season, moving into winter. And then you have St. Bridget's Day or Candlemas, which is the Christianized version of the returning of the light, which is this midwinter holiday.
Right.
So these were all astrological holidays that were in the early earth-based traditional cultures, agricultural cultures.
Yes.
And then these were all adopted by the Christian church so that they could Christianize the population.
Right.
And so if you go to the ancient cathedrals in Europe, you can see there's so much astrology in the actual buildings.
Yes.
There's astrological signs.
Yes.
There's saints associated with this astrological times of year.
Yes.
All of that is built into the buildings. There's mazes.
Yes.
It's just phenomenal. There's
in the geographical placement of the buildings to the compass points so that you get the certain light of a certain angle of the sun coming through certain windows and all the, at certain points of the year as well.
Yeah. And also beneath the structure, down below, you know, many stories below the actual structure is often a sacred well that was a point of pilgrimage for the goddess.
Right, right.
So these are all part of our ancient subverted culture.
Yes, yes.
So this is a big turning of the year. We're fully into a season, halfway to a point of summer solstice in June, which is about 45 days away. And it's one of those points where you mark, for example, in the ancient tradition, you can watch for a sign during this week, a bird, a plant, a number showing up on your odometer, a piece of mail, something that grabs your attention, a totem of some kind. You could hear things, or you could be thinking something and then a song comes on the radio which has the same sentiment as what you were thinking. Like, those are all signs from the benevolent universe that you're on the right track.
Yes.
So if something shows up for you, like maybe you're walking the dog and you just happen to see, like, you look up and you see like this swooping blackbird and you think it might be a crow, but really it's a golden eagle. That's time to take notice, right?
Yeah.
Like, just something that's unusual, even, that you notice that's not customary. You know, you don't see it often, or it's bigger than it should be.
And is that more significant during this particular Beltane because Uranus is involved and Uranus is known for unexpected change and surprise and spontaneity?
Yeah, Uranus can certainly help. The Sun conjunct Uranus is going to be drawing your attention to these unusual things, these synchronicities, these innovations, these awakenings, really.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Right.
Richard Tarnas has renamed Uranus Prometheus, the Awakener.
That's fascinating.
Because so many properties of Uranus are really also belong to Prometheus, that unexpected, that rebellious action that causes something, a whole shifting of a culture,
right?
Like when Prometheus stole fire from the gods, it was a change.
He stole it from the gods as a gift to mankind.
Yes.
And of course, you know, fire being what prompted us to have warmth and food and
survive.
Yeah, to be able to survive. Yeah. Well, very cool. I'll just say too that as we were getting ready, I did pull a card today, and the magician card number one wanted desperately to come out of the deck. So we were talking about possibility, because the magician has all their tools at their disposal, ready to work magic. So anything's possible this season.
Absolutely. On Friday the 6th, Mercury sextiles Venus.
Right.
So this is, again, an opportunity for social exchange, offering a spirit of compromise, agreement, harmonious interaction, also getting clear or creating clarity around your thoughts or your speech, and appreciation of beauty. So a great time to visit a museum.
Yeah, always.
Or a concert, dance, music, poetry, any of that.
Yeah.
And Saturday, the Sun will sextile Mars. So we have these really a lot of sextiles this week.
That's what I was going to say. And sextiles, just to refresh everyone's memories, are easy flow and harmonious back and forth flow, right? With a sextile.
Right. There's a give and take. Yeah. There's a support.
Right.
Rather than just a kind of a overwhelming kind of rush of energy that a trine might offer, there's this give and take and supporting energy that kind of flows back and forth.
Yeah.
Sextiles are great for resolving problems. Resolving is a good word for them.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I had made a note about these abundance of sextiles as a support for a new story. And this coming out of the eclipse is the opportunity to leave behind anything we don't want to bring into this new season.
Yeah. This is a really great opportunity this first week in May for new opportunities, new beginnings.
Fantastic.
And really starting to envision.
Yeah. With a sense of power and authority, like, you can do this. You can do this.
Right.
Just get your tools out.
Right.
Make some magic.
The magician. Perfect. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you. I really love when we get to talk about things like the cross-quarter days to remind us that this is stuff that has been with us as humans for a long time. And it feels like, I don't know, now more than ever, there's been a call back, a return back to relook at how astrology, nature, the stars, like, we're all part of it. It's all part of everything. It's really exciting. I love talking about the cross quarter days.
Well, they just offer such opportunity. They're a check-in point. And I love the prognostication part of them, you know, that they are this,
yes,
this point that we reach in the sky at a certain season. And you can see the energy unfolding. I mean, spring, fall, in February, you can see the light coming back.
Yes.
The rhythm of it all makes so much sense to plug in on a much more real level.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Awesome. Awesome way to enter into May.
I'm excited.
Thanks for all that information, deciphering it for us.
Yes, it's such a pleasure. Thank you.
Fellow stargazers, you know how to reach us. You can send us email at connect@sisterstargazers.com and let us know how it's working for you. Leave a comment at wherever you're finding our podcast. And thank you for tuning in. So here's to a happy May. Happy May.
Awesome.
All right, everyone. We'll talk to you later.
Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Sister Stargazers. Let us know what worked for you this week. Find us on Facebook and post a comment at Sister Stargazers.